There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. Hey, Sarah.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Roundtable. I'm your host, Jake Jackman, and you can reach us at the show by emailing us at championshiproundtable@gmail.com.
Yep, I'm Kevin. I edit Leeds United Mad, an independent website. I've also got a Twitter handle, Leeds_Mad. Obviously supported Leeds most of my life, and looking forward to an exciting season. I'm sure things are on the way up, but if you look at the league table at the moment, it doesn't appear to be that way, but hopefully things will start moving after the 2-week rest. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm Steve. I present the Forever Forest podcast, which is a podcast encapsulating all the trials and mostly tribulations of Nottingham Forest, which is, if you're not a part of it, you maybe don't realise it, but it's one of the most entertaining clubs in the world because there's always something stupid happening, whether it's on the pitch or in the boardroom. There's always something interesting happening. And I'm sure you'll hear all about it in the next minutes or so, because there's been a lot happening in the last week at Forest, as there always is. And yeah, we're looking forward to discussing that, I think.
I'm Matt Cutler, Aston Villa fan. I'm a sports journalist specialising in the business of sport. I also run my own podcast, which is called SB Weekly. And yeah, it's been a busy month or so for Villa, particularly with this transfer window. We were a lot of comings and goings, a lot of money spent. And I guess you can get my views on who's come in later on.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We'll just start with making the rounds where each of us will have a few minutes to discuss what our club have been doing over the past week. Kevin, we'll start with you. Talk us through the latest news affecting Leeds United.
Well, it's been, I've been told it's our worst August start since we've been promoted back to the Championship. So not a very good start to the season. Gary Monk's brought in 11 players, which is effectively a full side, but seems to be lacking a bit on centre-halves and lacking maybe another centre-forward. But now that the emergency window no longer exists, there's this thing called free agents, where there's a load of players available that nobody else wants. And it looks like Leeds might have to look to see who's available in that little package of players and try and bring in another centre-half, because the day after the transfer window shut, our captain decided he wanted to leave for personal reasons. So obviously that sets a little bit. So Sol Bamba has moved on, and we need to replace him ASAP with pre-agent probably. And we need another forward to sort of keep Chris Wood and Marcus Anderson on the toes. Like I say, not a very good start to the season. I tend not to look at the table, especially where we are at the moment, until about 10 games into the season. So hopefully we should be able to gauge the new players a lot better after maybe another 5 games, and hopefully things will move on from there. But only one decent game to look back on, really. It's the Sheffield Wednesday away performance, which was absolutely perfect. Went to Wednesday, got a 2-0 victory. I thought the season would change on that particular performance, but after Forest, last league game, we seem to have sort of gone backwards a little bit again. So we've only got the table toppers to meet next time, our local rivals down the road, Huddersfield. So we'll see how that goes. Then we've got Blackburn on the Tuesday. So we've got 2 home games to get our season sort of back on the road and start moving again. And hopefully we'll see an improvement in those 2 games. So roll on September the 10th.
Yeah, you just mentioned your squad there. You did make quite a few signings over the summer, and it sounds obviously like you're not happy with your squad. What sort of issues do you think should have been addressed before the window closed?
Well, I'm happy with the squad. It's just that, obviously, we don't appear to... We seem to have so many midfield players. We haven't moved any on. We bought in O'Kane from Bournemouth, which is a useful player, but we tend to have a lot of good midfield players around. The only thing is Gary Monk doesn't seem to know what his best 11 is at the moment. I thought the best 11 was the win at Wednesday. Obviously, he changed it completely against Luton. Completely different 11, but we managed to get a victory. And then he changed it again against Forest when I thought he should have kept the same team that beat Wednesday because that was the best performance of the season. He decided to drop Mowat, Alex Mowat, one of our young stars, and put Pablo Hernandez into the team. A decent signing at the start of the season, but I think it's taken a little bit of time to get used to the Championship way of playing football. It is a class above a lot of other players in the league. I think he will be a good signing eventually, but I think he's just taken a bit of time to sort of get used to sort of the Championship week to week, Saturday, Tuesday sort of football. So it'll take him a while to find his feet. Whilst he's finding his feet, I think he should be maybe just introduced for about 20 minutes or so, just while he gets used to it. So why he changed it completely against Forest, I don't know why, but obviously it didn't work out. So it's back to the drawing board again for Huddersfield. So hopefully, you know, they're sort of up and running at the moment. They've only dropped a couple of points. They're the team to beat at the moment by the looks of things. If you'd have said at the start of the season there'd be three Yorkshire clubs in the top three, you'd probably think of maybe Wednesday, maybe Leeds, but obviously it's Barnsley and Huddersfield that seem to be making the running in our area. Which is disappointing for Wednesday and Leeds fans, but I'm sure by 10, 15 games, you know, things may have changed a little bit again. That's what I'm hoping for. But I'm pleased with the squad. I'm pleased with Gary Monk. I'm pleased with the backroom staff he's got in as well. James Beattie's been around. He knows the ropes a little bit. And obviously Pep Clotte, outstanding coach. I think, obviously, they'll get it right eventually, but the thing is with our owner, will they be given enough time to sort of get things sorted out, or will he start getting itchy feet again and, you know, start doing what he does best is getting new coaches in every sort of 6 to 8 games. So it's a bit of a nervous time for Gary Monk. He has to get it right on the 10th of September, but obviously, like I said before, we're playing the league leader, so it's going to be a tough game. But he's got to get at least a maximum of 4 out of 6 points out of the next 2 home games. If he doesn't, then obviously Massimo Cellino could be sort of knocking on his door and asking what's going on again and might start making a couple of changes. But hopefully, like I said before, he'll be given enough time to sort things out and hopefully things will improve from there.
Steve, the big news out of Forest this past week has been the sale of Oliver Burke to Red Bull Leipzig. What are your thoughts on that? And has anything else been happening at the club?
Well, as I mentioned in my intro, something always seems to be happening at Forest. The sale of Burke was the major news of the summer. We didn't need money. Forest had done some sensible business for the first time in a long time this summer, and we're pretty much, you know, sorted in terms of FFP and all that sort of thing. But the fear that a lot of Forest fans have is Mr. Fawaz Al-Hassawi is a divisive figure, to say the very least. He has his cult following, but he also has his severe doubters. And the doubters, of which I'm one, by the way, were out in force last week because there's no sell-on clause for Ollie Burke, which for a young teenager going for that money is absolutely crazy. And little bits like that, it's 13 million straight up in cash, which is what we think has made Fawaz accept it. It's a strange decision because Burke, as I'm sure Kev can attest from watching him against Leeds a couple of weeks ago, is a proper star at this level. He's very, very talented. He seems to have become a different beast this season. Bit hit and miss last year, but he's quality. And I think he would have been one of the Championship star players this season if he'd have stayed. He hasn't, so you've just got to kind of move on. And as I mentioned, the money wasn't reinvested. We signed 2 players on deadline day, which was Mustafa Carriol from Borough, which, you know, we've seen him in the Championship plenty of times. He's not pulled up too many trees. He's a solid player, but he's not a huge acquisition in that sense. And a guy from Napoli, Dimitrov, I think his name is, who's never really done anything in Italy from what I can make of. But, you know, you wait and see what these players can sort of bring. Forest this season will finish mid-table. Anything above, bonus. Anything below is a problem. They've got a mid-table squad. It's probably not good enough for the playoffs. Too good to go down. So that's fine for me. But for a lot of fans, the big issue is they want to be doing more. They want to constantly be pushing the playoffs because Forest are a massive club. It is actually the same for both Leeds and Villa. They probably don't really belong in the Championship in terms of their status. But here they are. And I think Forest fans still, a lot of them still tend to struggle with that. And it's going to be an interesting season because, as is the same with Senor Cellino, Mr. Hisawi likes to swing the axe unnecessarily every now and then as well. So you just got to wait and see. I like Montagnier from the way he's come in, scored 11 goals in 3 home games so far. So entertaining football. You just got to wait and see where it ends up.
Yeah, you touched on Al-Hisawi there. What are your thoughts on his ownership? And what do you think his ambitions for the club are? Because they seem unclear for me as a neutral.
I could go on for hours and hours about Fawaz Al-Hisawi. I won't for everyone's sake. Forest are currently in the midst of a takeover bid from Greece to try and get Fawaz, obviously, out to replace him. And that was a big deal with the Burke deal. People were wondering, oh, has he done that to fob off the Greek guys who were trying to take over? Still don't know the clarity on that. Fawaz is still liked by quite a large section of Forest supporters. There is quite a large section also there who think he should be gone. He's a foreign owner who gets it in the sense of, I think he genuinely cares about the football club. And I think he really wants it to do well. He wants it in the Premier League. He said that the very first day he turned up, Trent aside. His main issue is the way he's gone about it. The organisational side of things, behind the scenes, backroom, et cetera, at Forest has been shocking for a long, long time. And the people employed there to make decisions, there's very few of them. And it's essentially a dictatorship in that sense. Because that's where the decisions get made from. And they're not really football people. We've hired chief executives. We hired one, I think, from Villa, which Matt might be able to tell us more about. I can't remember his name for the life of me now. Earlier on this year, proper good chief exec. And he was ousted within 3 weeks because he left because he had nothing to do because he wasn't allowed to make any decisions. So I think that tells you a little bit more about Fawaz Al-Hisawi. And it was a couple of people at the club who run the day-to-day. And they don't run it very well, in my opinion. But it's my opinion. Bloke sat in his house in Nottingham, not a bloke who runs the club, unfortunately. So it's a weird one. I think the club would be better with Fawaz out of it, but at the same time, he saved us with the money that he did put in. So he's always put his money where his mouth is, which has never been the problem. The issue is the decisions that he makes.
Yeah, just moving on to you now, Matt. There have been a few changes at Aston Villa over the past week, including the signings of Albert Adoma and Jonathan Codger. What have your thoughts been on those?
Paul Faulkner's the guy you're thinking of, Stephen, by the way. Villa have had a pretty busy summer transfer window more generally. We needed a bit of a root and branch change in the squad. You know, a lot of players coming in, a lot of players going out. Not as many players going out as we kind of anticipated. But I think you mentioned Jake Khadija and Adoma. Sorry, I haven't worked out how to pronounce his name quite yet. Two very attacking players, you know, a striker and a kind of a winger. And that shows, it's reflective on how we played last season. I couldn't put the ball in the net. Well, couldn't defend either, but that's a different story. And even this season, where we've been creating chances, but not being reflected, you know, in goals, well, in the ball going in the back of the net. So I mean, I don't know a great deal about Khadija. I mean, he was left out of the Villa played Bristol City in the last game, and he was left out of the squad. I think at the time that's because, well, the press speculation was that he was going to go to Forest. I believe, but obviously came to us. So I get, the proof will kind of be in the pudding.
next weekend, or this weekend rather, to see how they play. I've just noticed we're in this interesting situation where three of our strikers are actually all on international duty at the moment in Africa. So in January, that could be interesting if Khadija, AU and Gisted, are all playing there. So we'll lose three of our four, main strikers for a month, which could prove interesting. And who else we brought? And we've bolstered our defence a little bit. We've got in Delay from Leicester and James Chester, obviously from West Brom since I last came on this podcast. So I think the squad is being boosted. I don't think our start to the season is as bad as the table would maybe suggest. I think we've played okay. We've got our goalkeepers made two, pretty big howlers that have cost us at least 4 points. So I'm not, maybe I'm delusional, but I'm not too disheartened by how we are at the moment, even though we're sitting in 16th.
Yeah, the last time you came on, you talked about your owner and you said he'd be an interesting follow on Twitter. And I have since been following him, and a lot of the things he says sort of do make headlines, whether for the right or wrong reasons, sort of like announcing transfers before they've properly been done and saying he wants to get Villa as like the most supported club in Europe, which was an interesting statement. What do you think of his social media presence as a fan? Do you like it, or do you think it can be a bit too much at times?
Yeah, I may be the wrong person, or maybe the right person to answer this, partly because, I am a journalist and I cover the business of sports, so this is kind of very much in my area. I quite enjoy it, but I don't think it's too helpful. I mean, he shouldn't really be. I mean, the fans love, obviously, they get an inside track just on their Twitter feed, but I don't know how well that's going to go down. With other clubs, the chairman at these football clubs obviously play quite a big role in signing players. So whether, how other clubs feel about that. He's also been slating players, sometimes not naming names, but other times naming names. He's had a pop at Agbonlahor. He's had a pop at, kind of any player who the fans are talking about. Tony likes to get his, comments on. So there's also a case that, this is very much still in his honeymoon period. He's only owned the club for a few months. And okay, Villa haven't had the best start, but say we don't win a game for three matches, or, we end mid-table in the Championship, which will be deemed a failure for, the club and the fans. I don't think he will be seen in the same way as he is now. And he's earned, and to be honest, he is loved at the moment. But, as we all know, as football fans, it's results on the pitch that matter. And that's what makes fans happy or sad at the end of the day.
Yeah, just moving on to Newcastle now. We did do a bit more business before the transfer deadline closed. We brought in Christian Atsu on loan from Chelsea, making us probably one of the 50 clubs in the Football League to have a player on loan from Chelsea. So we'll see how that goes. He's been about. He's played for Bournemouth, Everton. He's been in the Chelsea squad as well. And he's never really made an impact in English football. So it will be interesting to see how he gets on. I think we did need some more options on the wing. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. And I hope that he can sort of find the form he showed for Ghana. I think he played really well in the 2014 World Cup, so I'm hoping he can sort of play at that level. The main news of the week was obviously us selling Moussa Sissoko to Spurs for $30 million, which was absurd to me. I didn't think we were going to get anywhere near that amount of money for him, because if you'd watched him a lot over the last couple of seasons, he has been very inconsistent, and a lot of the time he does go missing on the pitch, and he'll be one of the first to stop trying when you're 2-0 down. And he was a major reason for our relegation. So the fact that Spurs and Everton both put in 30 million bids for him was a bit weird. And I think it sort of showed the panic that exists on deadline day. But we're happy we got that one done and we could get him out of the club, because he was a damaging sort of influence on the team. But it closed up a good window for us. We bought in 12 new players. We made £31 million profit. So all the clubs that are sort of abusing Newcastle for buying their way to promotion, which I can understand because we've spent a lot of money, but it's not like we're spending money and not bringing it back in. We have sold quite a few players. We brought a lot of money back in, and that is how we have been able to spend that money. So it's going to be interested to see how we do this season, because there's been a lot of changes, and obviously that can take some time to have an effect on results. But I am fairly positive about the season ahead, and I am hoping that we can continue our sort of recent good form where we picked up 4 wins out of our last 4 in all competitions. So, yeah, it's a lot more positive to be a Newcastle fan at the moment. And obviously, we've got a tough game against Derby at the weekend, and we're going to see how that goes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But I just want to move into the topics for today now. How do each of you sort of assess the strength of the championship after the first 5 matches? And what do you think has changed from seasons past? We'll start with you, Kev.
Well, I think it's proven now that the championship is probably the hardest, one of the hardest leagues in Europe, really, to, you know, to get out of, basically, promotion-wise. There's so many good teams in there, so many good sort of ex-premiership teams that obviously all the fans think they should be in the premiership. You know, Wolves, Villa, Forest, Derby, Newcastle. There's so many to choose from. Obviously, all their fans think they should be doing a lot better than what they are doing. So I think it is a very tough league to get out of. But obviously the rewards are so massive these days. You know, you get so much money now from television and everything that it's, the Premiership is the only place to be. But the question is, what's the easiest route to get there? Do you spend your way there, or do you just sort of gradually build, like Eddie Howe did with Bournemouth, just build a decent team from a lot of journeymen, really, and sort of try and sort of play your way into the Premiership, which they did to effective use. And now they're, you know, they didn't get relegated last season, and they're looking fairly decent there now. So yeah, it's very tough. You can't really gauge it after 5 games, I don't think, really. I think it takes between 10 and 15 to see who's going to do well, who's going to be a playoff candidate, who's going to, you know, be in the bottom sort of 6 or 7 teams. So it does take a little while to get used to the new squads that teams have got. Hopefully that'll be us as well, because I do think we're in a slightly false position, because I think we have been playing better than the results sort of suggest. And obviously we've got 2 home games coming up now after the international break. Effectively, we do need 6 out of 6, but, you know, I think most of these fans would, as long as we don't lose those 2 and try and get 4 at least, I think they'd be quite happy. But yeah, it's a very tough league, but the obviously the rewards are so substantial now that I think it's good to, you know, to get as many good players as you can, really, and give it a go rather than just sort of hope on a wing and a prayer, like a lot of clubs do. But we'll see how it goes. It's a long old season, playing Saturday, Tuesday, and, you know, things do change dramatically. Form changes. By January, there could be, you know, new teams involved in the promotion push, new teams involved in the relegation. So it is a very long season, and, you know, it's not always the best squads get there, as Derby proved last season. I think they were one of the better squads in the league, but they struggled. Obviously, we're caught out near the end, and it's, you know, it's. I don't think anybody's going to run away with it, but it is going to be an interesting season.
Yeah, ownership actually this year is possibly stronger than it's been in quite a long time. Actually, I think with the likes of the teams that have come down this season, you look at two with us on the show today, Newcastle and Villa, and Norwich as well, haven't really lost too many players that they had to, you know, be in the Premier League. Norwich in particular haven't lost many players that got them to the Premier League either, which I think is important. So there's three quality Championship teams that have come down. And I think if you look at the teams that were already in the league, you know, you look at Sheffield Wednesday, for example, who've invested some serious money, but, you know, are going about it, you know, a good way, playing some good football. They'll be a lot stronger this year, having, you know, been to the playoffs and just fallen short last year. You've got the likes of Huddersfield, who started the season on fire. Will they stick it out? Not too sure. But there's a lot of money being spent in the Championship. And, you know, you look at teams like Wolves, Brighton, Ipswich, Derby, for example, haven't made a good start, but, you know, you can't imagine they're particularly going to not, you know, be in and around the playoff positions by the time the season finishes. So you've got a lot of teams started this season with genuine and realistic as well playoff aspirations. And I don't think that's been the case in the Championship for a little while. Usually you kind of, you know the top five, maybe like last season, pretty much clear cut from about November who the top five were really going to be. And then, you know, the last sort of, or the top eight, say, and the last sort of 3 months of the season sorted out the two who weren't going to make into the playoff places. And I don't think that's the case this year. I think it's really, really hard to call. You've got some genuinely quality teams with really decent players. I think Newcastle have done seriously well to persuade Premier League players to take the step down, the likes of Matt Ritchie, Dwight Gayle, etc. And, you know, there's been some good investment everywhere. I think the money from the Premier League has filtered down to the Championship in a sense. Whether that's a good thing or not, I'm not 100% sure. But I'd say it's got higher quality. There's more quality teams in it this year than there has been for quite a long time for me in the Championship. Certainly since, for a long time, essentially. And whether that makes it more difficult to go up, I think it will do. I think Newcastle could feasibly not go up this season, for example, which would be a disaster. I think Villa are going to really struggle to go up automatically. I think they'll probably be in the playoff positions by the end of the season. But again, it wouldn't be unfeasible, should I say, for them to finish outside of the top six, not at all with the teams that are in the league. And, you know, you look at mine and Kev's teams, Forest and Leeds, historically two absolutely massive clubs. They're going to really struggle to be in the playoff positions this year because so many teams with decent money behind them who are spending it well, with real genuine aspirations of going up. And whether an outsider in that sense, which is, you know, a team expected to finish mid-table or below, can really jump the shark and get in there, I'm not too sure, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I think pre-season when Newcastle were being tipped for promotion, I think we were the shortest price for a winner in the Championship, which was sort of, I think, overestimating our size and sort of thinking we'd walk it like we did last time. Because since then, the Championship has improved a lot. And the one thing I've noticed is that there's a lot of different styles in the league. You've sort of got David Wagner at Huddersfield. You've got Fulham have sort of taken down the stats route and sort of bringing players in based on what their analysts say rather than the manager. And then below that, you've sort of got teams like Rotherham United, who I don't think any sort of team would like to play because they sort of play a certain style and you're expected to win that game. Like most teams in the league will be expected to beat Rotherham United, and that's just going to make it even tougher. So and I just think there's so many styles in this league, and it could be, as you say, you could be so maybe one from maybe 14 or 15 could get into those playoff spots, which is incredible. And the competitive nature of it does just make such entertaining games for me. And I'm enjoying being in the Championship for a season because it's a lot different to the Premier League.
But only for a season, though.
Yeah, that's what I would hopefully want, just for a season. But we'll see how that goes. What are your thoughts on it? About obviously, Aston Villa have not been in the Championship for a long, long time. So what are your thoughts on the division since getting relegated?
Yeah, and I'm only 30, so I can't actually remember Villa not being in the Premier League until this season. So I must confess, this is the first time, you know, most Championship games or, you know, second tier games that I've watched in my life. But I guess that gives me quite an interesting perspective because the standards is a lot better than I was anticipating. And in no way are Villa anywhere near a cut above, you know, or looking like a
Premier League team in the Championship. You know, and I agree with what Steve said. You know, if Villa get into the playoffs, I think that's a result. I mean, I can't see us getting automatic promotion by any stretch of the imagination, and I can see us missing out on it as well. I mean, in fact, Di Matteo said relatively recently that, you know, getting Villa back to the Premier League is a two-year plan, you know, rather than Tony Giarone, who said, you know, he wants Villa to win the Champions League in 10 years. So I'd probably take Di Matteo's word over the chairman's. I think one interesting thing that we haven't touched on yet is that I think in the January transfer window, we're going to see a lot of spending as well, particularly from the clubs who will be in the top, you know, the top half of the table around there, just because that, the, you know, the taste that you can get from, you know, the opportunity of getting promotion and the financial opportunity I'm talking about is so bigger than what you get in the Championship, that it's worth that gamble on a 15 million player that we saw in the August transfer window. So I don't think that's going to change. A bit like I said before, I think in terms of our starts of the season and our aspirations, I think Villa are playing better than a team that's 16th in the Championship. You know, the opening game of the season, we didn't take our chances. Goalkeeper, you know, fluffed a kick on 85 minutes and we lose 1-0. Then the same kind of thing happened when we were 1-0 up with 5 minutes to go. And even in the game which we lost 3-1 against Bristol City, the last championship game, you know, we were 1-0 up at half time. We'd missed a shed load of chances, hit the woodwork, I think. It's just a case of us not finishing, hence I guess why we strengthened in attack. But I think Villa will finish in the playoff spots, though it could be scraping it.
Yeah, that moves us on nicely to what I want to talk about next, which is each of our club starts. Are each of you happy with the start, and have your expectations changed as a result?
Well, obviously, our start, Leeds United, is not the best start. It's one of our worst starts in an August since we got promoted from League One. But I think some of the players that we have, such as Liam Bridker, I think he's one of the best midfield players in the league. And he should be made captain now that Sol Bamba has moved on. I think he'll shore the midfield up and the back four. He'll help out a lot and will get better. Luke Ayling looks a good prospect from Bristol City. He looks a decent right back. And of course, we kept Charlie Taylor from the Premiership Wolves. As Wolves, as in obviously the animal, not the club. A lot of clubs were after him. So if we can keep him at least, defence looks assured. We just need to sort of stick our chances away, and we've only got Chris Wood and Marcus Anderson as regular sort of strikers. We desperately needed somebody else in there as well. But I think in Gary Monk, we have got one of the best coaches outside the Premiership. I think he'll do well long term. I'll just think really that obviously if he's given a chance by the owner, which, you know, everybody knows how volatile and how he can change his mind fairly quickly. If he's given the chance to do what he should do, then he'll be okay. But there's obviously talk, as with Forest, there's always talk about ownership, and there's a huge rumour going around at the moment that the Chinese are sort of looking at Leeds United, a Chinese group, you know, so things could change. It seems to be the in vogue thing at the moment for the Chinese companies to take over English-based teams. So I think it's a case of watching this space on that particular one. Like I said before as well, next two games are crucial, both home games against Huddersfield and Blackburn. We've got to start improving our home record, which we only won 7 times at Elland Road last season, which is fairly abysmal in the league. We've got to get at least 14 victories to sort of stand a chance of anything, really. We've sort of finished 15th in the last sort of 3-4 years in the Championship. Seems to be our favourite position there at the moment. I think playoffs do look a long way off at the moment, but in this league, you know, there's always a surprise team that sort of makes it into the playoffs. Sheffield Wednesday did it last season. Brighton did fairly well after having two fairly mediocre seasons prior to that.
Middlesbrough got automatic promotion. They were fairly average before that as well. But it just goes to show that, you know, if you do sort of plough a bit of money into the club, not everybody's got an owner like Steve Gibson at Middlesbrough, because he sort of loves that club and everything he does is, you know, for the benefit of Middlesbrough. If everybody had an owner like him, I think, you know, teams would do rather well. But we're stuck with what we have at the moment. So unless things change dramatically in the next sort of few weeks, hopefully Gary Monk will be given his chance and hopefully he'll take it and things will start to improve.
Yeah, Steve, coming on to you, what are your thoughts on being on Forest's start, and has it changed your expectation for the season? You mentioned earlier that you think sort of a mid-table finish is what you expect. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's what I expect. Whether it's what the majority of Forest fans expect, that I'm not so sure. Forest don't have a good enough squad to finish top six for me. I think they're lacking a bit defensively, and if Brittany Sombalonga gets injured, there's absolutely zero chance for happening. So they need to solidify defensively. They've conceded as many as they've scored this season, which is quite an achievement considering they've already scored 11. So there's green shoots of optimism. Obviously, we're just we're coming off the back of a season and a bit with Dougie Friedman, which was quite dour football. I really like Dougie Friedman as a manager. He made us very defensively solid and quite hard to beat, which with the options that he had at his disposal is about all he could really do, really. We've since got Britt back from injury, which is such a plus. He's a wonderful striker. Genuinely will just score goals and hit the Championship. It's such a great quality to have. So if Britt can stay fit, Forrest can possibly do something surprising this season. He's already looked pretty good this season. He's already had to ride a little injury as well. So it's essentially all on his fitness, because I don't think there's really too much in terms of striking options once Britt, if Britt, I should say, breaks down with an injury. So it's all on that, really. Generally, Forrest have looked pretty good. At home, particularly three games, three wins at home, which has been great. Entertaining games as well, generally, which is something that we've not been too used to, having had a year of Dougie Friedman. We've had a 4-3, a 4-3, and a 3-1. So, you know, it's a pretty good bet if Forest are at the City Ground anytime soon to put on both teams to score, because it's pretty much nailed on at this point. In terms of expectation, I don't think it can be too high. There's too many good teams in the league this year for Forest to really upset the apple cart for me. And I think Forest are too good to go down. I will say that. So I think it's going to be somewhere in the table. It all depends on if Britt or someone can stay fit, if Burke isn't missed too much. And yeah, that's pretty much it. If Britt can stay fit and score 20 goals, then Forest could do something in the season. But I think he will do that anyway, but I still think Forest will struggle to break top six.
Yeah, I started the season thinking that we would be the most likely to win the league. Maybe I bought a bit too much into the hype. I wasn't one of those that thought we were going to walk the league and sort of win all our home games, lose one or two games. I thought that was an unrealistic expectation to have, especially as, you know, our squad needs a lot of work on it, and it needs to sort of build that winning mentality. It's not just going to come overnight, and we've seen that in our start so far. We lost our first two games. I think we were possibly unlucky to lose both of them. We weren't outplayed, but we didn't play well enough to win the points ourselves. And I think the experience of those Championship sides showed at the end, and they managed to get the points. And you know, it was a wake up call for Newcastle, both for the squad and the fan base. And since then, there has been you know, shoots of improvement. It's not been great, but we've picked up three wins. Our last game against Brighton in particular was sort of a perfect Championship performance. We didn't concede too many chances. We took the chances that came our way, both from set pieces, which is something that you need to take advantage of this league. And it looked like a proper Rafa Benitez team, where we weren't conceding much and we just took the chances that came our way. And I think as the season progresses, we are going to become more efficient as we understand the league more and get more experience and sort of learn what our best 11 is, although Rafa likes to rotate a lot, as we've already seen. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of works out. But yeah, I'm not overly confident about winning the league. If I had to hazard a guess now, I think we'll probably go up in second, and I'm not sure who behind, but I don't think we've got enough about us to win the league. But I do think we are going to get promoted, and that's probably what we need, to be fair, because although we have made money in this window, we don't have the financial sort of Mike Ashley does not invest enough into this club alone to sort of make up that gap from the Premier League money. So I do think we're going to go up. I just don't think we're going to win the league, sadly. But there we go. I'll take promotion right now. If it was offered to me, whether that was the playoff, second place or first, that's the most important thing going up. And it's not going to be easy, but we'll see how that goes. Yeah, just moving on to player watch now. I just want to ask each of you which sort of player has impressed for your club in August, and is there anybody that's disappointed? We'll start with you, Matt.
I think in terms of the players who have performed well, the standout for me has been Jack Grealish. I mean, he started scoring goals, which he needs to do. I know there's been a lot of hype and a lot of news around Grealish, but he is a class player, and he will play for England one day. I'd put money on it. Well, not my mortgage, but I'd put money on it. On the ball, he's brilliant. He's very difficult to tackle. He's very creative, and that kind of the goals, even though he scored one Premier League goal last season, I think it was just one goal. He needed to add that to his game. So two goals in the first, already in the Championship, I think is brilliant. In terms of players who haven't performed to expectations, I think actually last time I was on this podcast, I said that Jordan Ayew, if he was in the mood for the Championship, he'd score 30 goals. And the absolute opposite has happened today. He doesn't look in the mood whatsoever. He hasn't scored yet in the Championship. He scored in the League Cup when we lost to Luton, but there was a lot of disgruntledness, if that's a word, in the Villa ranks when Grealish scored against Bristol City, because all the Villa players were celebrating, and Ayew just stood there on his own, just wandering back to the centre circle. And that kind of sums up. It doesn't look like he's in the mood for playing in the Championship. So I don't quite know what's going to happen with him. A part of me thought he was going to leave, but he obviously stayed. And just a kind of a small note to our goalkeeper. I've mentioned him a couple of times, Pierluigi Gollini. He looks a decent goalkeeper, but already two pretty big howlers that have cost us quite dearly. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with him, whether he retains his place in the starting between the sticks. To be honest, we don't have that many other options, given Guzan went, and remarkably Guzan is now a Premier League footballer again, but that's a different story.
Yeah, just on Grealish, Matt, I had the pleasure of watching him play week in, week out for Notts County a few years back on his loan spell. It was during a time when I was at university and we covered it for the uni paper, and that's the cool things that let you do when you're at uni. But he is, I completely agree. I think he's the next big deal. He gets a bit of an unfair rap because the tabloids don't particularly like him, and he gets a bit of stick for going to Ibiza on holiday like any other person. But he's quality, and I think at Championship level is his ideal level right now. He tore it up in League One when he was there. I think it was a bit early for him to kind of be expected to keep Villa up last year in the Premier League. But I think he's going to come into his own this season. He's at his level, and he's the business for me. I think he's going to be such a good player, such a good young talent. In terms of Forrest, I sort of already mentioned him, really. There's only two real standout players from Forrest this month. Ollie Burke, who's obviously been sold, which is quite funny. He's almost posthumously got the Player of the Month award, I think, at Forest this year. And Britt Sombalonga. Britt's the man, basically. If he gets a chance, he scores. He's brilliant. Genuine, bona fide goal scorer, which is such a rare thing to have. He'll be the difference whether Forest do something or don't. In terms of who hasn't impressed too much, the defence could do with work. Eric Lehigh has been on his typical slow start to the season at right back. We haven't really done too much at left back. We've got Danny Pineos, who's out injured, who's a proper good player, which would be really nice for him to come back at some point. And then our centre backs just need a bit shoring up, really. Matt Mills is pretty decent, but the young lad we brought in from Finland, Thomas Lamb, is a little bit eccentric, which I'll debate this all day long at a Premier League level about whether you can have eccentric centre-backs, but you can't at Championship level. it just never ever works. So we're a little bit shaky defensively. So that'd be pretty much it. Stephen Henderson's not had the greatest start in goal replacing Doris de Vries, but I think with confidence he'll get much better. He had a great game against Leeds, I thought. He got a lot of stick off his own fans, which was, you know, a shame after the first few games. But he seems to be picking back up now, which would be nice. So, yeah, I think for me, basically, I'm a Britta Sombalonga fanboy. He's just the man. And hopefully he can help us do something this year.
Yeah, moving on to you now, Kev, who's sort of impressed for Leeds United, and has anyone disappointed?
Well, Marcus Antonsson's, he looks a decent prospect. A Swedish player that used to play for Pep Clotet in the past. I think he'll be a good acquisition long-term. Chris Wood, obviously, is still only 23, but he sounds a lot older because he's had so many clubs on loan. He's got 3 in 6, which is fairly good for a striker. If he keeps that up, he'll get 20 goals this season. I'm sure with the right service, he'll bang them in for us. Liam Brooke in midfield, I think he's an outstanding championship midfield player. He was fantastic at Brighton, which is why he got a big money move to Sunderland under Gus Poyet. I think if he recaptures that form again for us, he'll do well. Looking forward to seeing Pontus Janssen, Swedish international, again. He has a tendency of being quite extravagant. He does Cruyff turns in his own area, which obviously can be a bit dangerous. But he's 6'5", and I don't think he'll miss many headers. I think it'll take Rob Green a little bit of time to get used to the fact that he's not playing for a London team anymore. He's, you know, playing for us. I think he'll be okay long term as well. I think Luke Ayling, obviously, he came in because Berardi was injured, and obviously he's taken his place at right back. Didn't have a very good game at Forest, but I think overall he's been fairly good for us. I'm fairly hopeful for the future. I think if the young stars that are rising again, we've got Tyler Denton, who made his debut at Luton at left back, scored the winning goal on his debut. And then he signed a 3-year contract. Very, very refreshing for a player to say it's the best week of his life. And, you know, all these money-grabbing players that you hear these days don't seem to be too bothered about anything, basically. But it's so refreshing to hear a young kid being excited about his future. So hopefully big things to come from him as well. And obviously we've got Alex Mowat, sort of in midfield, one of our sort of young prospects that's, hopefully, we need a good season from him. He's got a fantastic left peg on him. He scores goals from all kinds of areas on the pitch. Got a great free kick on him as well. So once the players step up a little bit and the new players get used to the fact that they're playing in the Championship, like Pablo Hernandez, who was a quality player, but he's taking a little bit of time to find his feet. Once these players do find their feet, I think we'll rise up the table. I'm not saying we're going to be anywhere near the playoffs by any means, but as long as Gary Monk gets things moving, gets us sort in the top 10 at least, then it should be promising for the future.
Yeah, I'd just like to touch on a few players at Newcastle. The three players that have impressed me have been the three of our new signings. Matt Ritchie, who I hadn't really watched that much of in the past. Like I've seen bits of him for Bournemouth here and there, but never really watched him over a full 90 minutes. And you can sort of tell the quality he has. He's so good on the ball. He never looks like he's going to be tackled. He always is decision-making when in terms of passing and crossing, and his runs in the final third are all very impressive. And you could definitely see he's a Premier League player, and he looks to be one of our better signings. Dwight Gayle's obviously scored a few goals, which is nice, and they've all been different goals. He scored a nice one against Bristol City where he ran in behind the back four and sort of finished it, and then he scored a free kick against Reading, and then there was a classic sort of poacher's goal against Reading as well. And it's promising not only to see him scoring goals, but for them to be all different types of goals, because that's the sort of striker I think we need in this division. I'm not too certain how much game time he's going to get now Alexander Mitrovic is back, because he's sort of more physical and he sort of suits our style a lot more. It'll be interesting to see if Rafa does go with two up top, because that would be interesting, because it's something he's not really done throughout his career. So we'll just have to see how he sort of works that out. And another player that has impressed me is Isaac Hayden. He played for Hull last season on loan. We took him from Arsenal. And he's just slotted straight into our centre midfield, and he just looks like such a good player. Like when we signed him, there were sort of people that had watched him at Hull were saying that he could possibly go on and play for England. And from what I've seen, he's definitely sort of got that potential. It'd just be interesting to see how we manage him and sort of see if we did go up, if he could sort of continue playing at that level in the Premier League as well. But that three signings that I think definitely improve us, and I'm excited to see a lot more of them. In terms of somebody who's disappointing me, it has to be Ayoze Perez. I said before the season on this podcast that I thought that he was going to be one of the best players in the division this year, purely on talent. I thought it was a massive coup for us to keep him, but he just doesn't look motivated. Maybe that's the wrong term, but he just looks like he's not physically ready for this league. He's getting pushed off the ball. He goes down for fouls that he maybe would have got in the Premier League, and he's not getting them in the Championship. And I think it's going to take him a bit of time to adjust to the league, which is disappointing for us, because I thought he was going to be a big player. But he's definitely got the talent to go on and sort of have a good season, and hopefully he does that. Just before we wrap up the podcast today, obviously there's been no matches this week, but next week they do return, and I'd just like to hear each of your thoughts on your upcoming fixtures. We'll start with you, Kev. You talked about it, you've got the sort of local derby against Huddersfield. What is your prediction for that game?
It's going to be a very tough game, because obviously Huddersfield are flying at the moment, but I think if we play to our potential, I think we could sneak a 2-1 victory maybe and get our season rolling again. So he's hoping, in front of 30,000 fans.
Yeah, I'll just move on to another fixture now. It's going to be the Aston Villa against Nottingham Forest. It'll be great to have both of your inputs on this. How do you think this is going to go down? We'll start with you, Steve, as you're the visiting team, and we'll let Matt round it off.
Yeah, I think Forest haven't travelled too well this year. Two games in the league, I think, and two defeats. I think that's right. Brighton and Brentford. Yeah, that's... they haven't travelled particularly well this season. Generally, I don't think the man Montagnier has got English away games figured out too well yet. We can attack at home and it's great, but sometimes in this division you do have to just shop a little bit on the roads. And it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, if Villa have a little bit too much for Forest at the weekend. And naturally, now what will happen is Matt will probably predict Villa to be awful and Forest to grab a win, such is the situation in our two clubs at the minute. But I think Forest would be very, very happy with a point, which would be a bit of progress on the road this year.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what team Di Matteo puts out for the Forest game. I tend to agree with Steve. I think Villa are definitely the favourites here. It's going to be a great game. It's on TV as well, which always kind of ramps up the hype around it. I think if Villa can put away chances, which has been our bugbear so far this season, I think we should hopefully win comfortably. But again, that comes down to whether he starts. Well, who does he start from? We've got a load of strikers to pick from. And also, Steve, you may be, on one hand happy, on one hand sad to hear that Grealish has just gone home early from England under-21 duty because he's picked up an injury. So no one quite knows how serious that is, but it sounds pretty ominous. So he may be missing out. So I guess we'll be paying close attention to that in the week.
Yeah, great news for Forest. The Grealish can't make it, but you've got plenty of players who can come in and do a job. Whereas that's the benefit of coming down from the Prem and having money to spend, is that you've probably got two fairly solid, Championship players in each position. Forest don't necessarily have that, so we've lost Burke, and our replacement for him, it looks like, it's going to be Mustafa Carriol. Our backup to Mustafa Carriol is, pretty much non-existent. So yeah, I think you'll probably be able to replace that. Forest need to learn how to play on the break again. They were so good at under Dougie last season. We actually picked up some really, really good results on the road. We beat Borough away. We were pretty good on the road at good teams. We beat Hull away as well. So if we can learn to do that again, that'd be brilliant. But I can't see it happening. I think it's a better win.
Yeah, Newcastle, we are going to Derby County in the evening fixture on Saturday. So, it's a tough one because Derby are historically quite a good Championship club, and many think they should have been promoted either in one of the last three or four seasons, and they haven't been. And they've brought in Nigel Pearson, who obviously knows this division, and sort of started the what happened at Leicester last season, he laid the foundations and he played a big part in that. So they were hoping that he was going to be the man to come in and get them up. And at the moment, they haven't looked that good. I mean, they've only scored one goal, I think, in the league. They've lost to Burton Albion. They've not really picked up many points. They've sold Jeff Hendrick to Burnley, and he was a very big player for them. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to them this year, because I'm not totally convinced by what they've done in the transfer market. I'm not totally convinced by their start. And I think Newcastle should be going to Derby sort of quite confident and thinking we can beat them. Whether that's going to happen, I'm not too sure. I think the most likely result is going to be a draw. And to be honest, that'd be an all right result for Newcastle. Taking a draw from who should be one of our promotion candidates, sort of challengers, that would be very good. So I'm going to say a draw. I'm quite negative as a Newcastle fan. The last few years have made me like that. So I'm going to go for a draw. But we could very easily win, and we should maybe go there expecting to. But yeah, just with that, we're now out of time. I just want to thank each of you for joining us today. And if you'd like to tell people where they can reach you or any projects you're involved in, now would be a good time.
I'm available on Leeds_Mad at any time. With up-to-date news of Leeds. Doing bits and pieces for Radio Yorkshire as well. And yeah, it's great to hear from you guys. And hopefully we'll all have decent seasons this season.
Yeah, I'm available on TFF Podcast. That's the account of the Forever Forest podcast. We do a lot of tweets, usually mocking how rubbish we are. But yeah, we're pretty good at being rubbish. There'll probably be a lot of self-pity this weekend, while Matt probably gloats across all of his Twitter accounts, which I'm expecting to see. You can also get me on @StephenJameson_.
And yeah, you can find me on Twitter @MattyCutler, and my podcast is @SB Weekly Podcast. So if anyone's interested in the business of sport, I've got quite a good one coming out this Wednesday with Barry Hearn, who is quite candid, let's say, about in his views about the sports industry. But yeah, thanks for having me, and up the Villa and all that.
Yeah, I do a lot of writing. I do stuff on EPL Index, the Boot Room, Newcastle 360, and I do a weekly championship betting preview for Get Bet Smart. So check all that out. And my Twitter account is @JakeJackal2N, so you can get everything I do on there. But just thanks so much for listening today, guys, and we hope you join us again soon on the Championship Roundtable.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.